From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will continue a series on the lives and ministries of the Apostles of Christ. We hope you will find the messages to be encouraging and helpful as you see how God can use ordinary people in the work of His kingdom. Before we hear from Dr. Cairns, we invite you to enjoy a brief devotional thought from Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening, followed by some beautiful sacred music.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 22 and verse 7. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head. Mockery was a great ingredient in our Lord's woe. Judas mocked him in the garden. The chief priests and scribes laughed him to scorn. Herod set him at naught. The servants and the soldiers jeered at him and brutally insulted him. Pilate and his guards ridiculed his royalty. And on the tree all sorts of horrid jests and hideous taunts were hurled at him. Ridicule is always hard to bear. But when we are in intense pain, it is so heartless, so cruel, that it cuts us to the quick. Imagine the Savior crucified, racked with anguish far beyond all mortal guess, and then picture that motley multitude, all wagging their heads or thrusting out the lip, in bitterest contempt of one poor suffering victim. Surely there must have been something more in the crucified one than they could see, or else such a great and mingled crowd would not unanimously have honored him with such contempt. Was it not evil confessing in the very moment of its greatest apparent triumph that, after all, it could do no more than mock at that victorious goodness which was then reigning on the cross? O Jesus, despised and rejected of men, how couldst thou die for men who treated thee so ill? Herein is love amazing, love divine, yea, love beyond degree. We, too, have despised thee in the days of our unregeneracy, and even since our new birth, we have set the world on high in our hearts, and yet thou bleedest to heal our wounds, and diest to give us life. Oh, that we could set thee on a glorious high throne in all men's hearts! We would ring out thy praises over land and sea, till men should as universally adore as once they did unanimously reject. Thy creatures wrong thee, O thou sovereign good. Thou art not loved, because not understood. This grieves me most, that vain pursuits beguile ungrateful men, regardless of thy smile.
Lord, thy mercy fill the earth below.
Every so often here on Let the Bible Speak, we've made mention of Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include, why did Christ have to become a man? Why does a good God allow suffering? Or, what is the unpardonable sin? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips are available on the ltbsradio.com website. But in addition, we're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies of the lives of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this message, he will deal with two men about whom there has been considerable speculation among Bible commentators. James and Jude appear to receive little mention in the scripture record. Yet, upon further examination, these two men take on much greater significance. In the course of the message, Dr. Cairns will provide evidence that in all probability, James and Jude were the half-brothers of Jesus and were the authors of the New Testament epistles which bear their names. Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce a message entitled, James and Jude, Their Identity and Importance.
Returning to Matthew chapter 10, for some time we have been considering the apostles of Jesus Christ. So I'm coming back to read the list of the apostles. Now, as soon as I announced this subject, it seems a long time ago, when we started with an overview of the apostles and then came to think of Peter for a couple of weeks. As soon as I announced that I was doing this, I could see on some people's faces a rather, well, how would I describe the look? Quizzical? I wouldn't say mocking, though, mind you, I could see brain cells were moving and the cogs were going round and they were saying, ha-ha, it's all right for Peter, my lad, but when you get down in that list, you're going to be in trouble. And I had some people actually come to me and mention two men by name. James, the son of Alphaeus, actually three. Lebeus, whose surname is Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite. And what are you going to say about those? Well, you'll have to wait to next week to hear what I say about Canaan the Samanite. Simon, well, that's one way. That's one way of preaching upon him. I simply change his name and preach on a non-existent character. Most preachers around America do that every week anyway. So I could do that. Simon the Canaanite will have to wait till next week in the Lord's will. But yes, tonight we come to look at this list and especially the two men who are named in at the end of verse 3. When he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebeus, whose surname was Thaddeus. These men are commonly thought to be so obscure that there's little, if anything, that any preacher could say upon them, at least with spiritual effect. Now that's a debatable point, and I don't think that it's quite accurate. I think we can go a little further, at least, and possibly a lot further than at first may appear. By comparing Matthew and Mark on the one hand with Luke and Acts on the other, we make a discovery. First, we discover that Lebeus and Thaddeus were two interchangeable names. Actually, they mean the very same thing. They're just from a different language stock. Then we make another discovery, and that is that this Lebeus or Thaddeus had yet another name. It sounds like a member of the British royal family. If you're born there, you are Albert, Philip, George, Charles, Alphonse, Sebastian, and about 44 other names before they get to Windsor. Well, here you have this Lebeus, whose third surname or other name was Thaddeus, and we discover that he is also called Jude, or Judas. He is that Judas who is not Iscariot. We make yet another discovery, and we find that this Jude was the brother of James, this son of Alphaeus, as he's here called. So what we have before us tonight is a pair of brothers who have the names of James and Jude. Now I'm using deliberately for the second one, a name that will be very, very much easier to handle and will immediately be very much more familiar. We're dealing then with a pair of brothers who are called James and Jude. Now immediately, that rings some bells, or it appears to, because those are two very famous names in the New Testament. Though I have to admit that there is very serious debate as to whether the James and Jude of our text are the more famous James and Jude who appear later in the New Testament. In the Gospel narratives, all that we're told about these two men is, first of all, that they were brothers. We learn that their mother, according to Mark 15 and 40, was called Mary. That they had a brother who was called Joseph. That these two were called to be apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they took their place among the 12. And then we find in John 14 verse 22 that Jude asked the Lord a question. This is the only word of Jude that's recorded for us in the Gospels. And he said to the Lord Jesus, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" And it certainly appears at that time that if Thomas could be called Doubting Thomas, Jude could be called doubly Doubting Jude. Now that is the sum total of what we are taught in the Gospel narratives about these men. So what can we say about them? Well, let's get right back to the point I hinted at a moment or two ago. Here is a set of brothers, James and Jude. Immediately our mind goes to the end of the New Testament scriptures, where we find another set of brothers who are called James and Jude. And by the way, a set of brothers who, as I'll prove in a moment, also had a brother called Joseph. A set of brothers whose mother was also called Mary. Now I think that immediately, though there will be a lot of discussion necessary, immediately, on the face of things, you can see that there would appear to be a very clear identification of James and Jude, whose mother was Mary, whose brother was Joseph, with this James and Jude, whose mother was Mary and whose brother was Joseph. That there should be two sets of brothers named in the New Testament, that we should learn they had another brother of the same name, Joseph, that their mother should have the same name, Mary, and that these two sets should be different sets of brothers, without anything at all in the New Testament to say that the new or second set was being introduced. I think that's fairly unlikely. Now, from the very earliest times of the church, therefore, there have been many people, including some of the greatest theologians and scholars the church has ever known, who have boldly said that James, the son of Alphaeus, and Jude, his brother, or Lebeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, all the same person with those three names, are the James and Jude who wrote the two epistles toward the end of the New Testament. And obviously, if that identification is correct, you can immediately see that there's a lot more we can say about James and Jude than would at first appear. But then, you see, in this area, nothing is easy. If I were simply to present the picture to you, and you were ignorant enough of the New Testament, you could go home and say, well, it's all settled. But here it begins to become complicated. Because that James who wrote the epistle is called in Galatians 1:19 by Paul the Apostle, the brother of the Lord. So immediately we see, if the James and Jude of our text are the James and Jude who wrote those two epistles, then they are the brothers of our Lord, at least his half-brothers, the sons of Mary and Joseph. Now let's just back off a little. From Matthew 13 and verse 55, we find that our Lord Jesus did in fact have four brothers. Their names are given to us, James and Jude, and Joseph and Simon. He had four brothers, two of whom were called James and Jude. As I've indicated, we do know from Mark 15 and 40 that James's mother was Mary. So the case for identifying these people in our text with the brothers of the Lord would appear to be quite strong. But there are two outstanding major difficulties, and I have to face them. First of all, in John 7, verse 5, we have the statement, neither did his brethren believe in him. So that would seem immediately to throw what we in Britain call, and you don't understand this at all, I think, but there's one fellow down there, well, it throws a spanner in the works. I think you have corrupted that to a monkey wrench. Well, it says, neither did his brethren believe in him. And then the second difficulty is that James is called the son of Alphaeus and not the son of Joseph. So how could he be the son of Joseph and Mary? And because of those difficulties, most commentators have said, however much it may appear at first sight that the people of our text are the James and Jude who wrote the epistles and therefore the brethren of the Lord, however much it may appear that, they are totally different sets. So they are postulating that we have a James and Jude who had a brother Joseph whose mother was Mary over here in the apostles. We have a James and a Jude whose brother was Joseph and whose mother was Mary over here, and they wrote these epistles. But they had no identification. They are totally different sets of brothers. I have a book in my library by an old Reformed Presbyterian minister from Northern Ireland, from a huge city called Dervock. Dervock was 4 miles from where I lived in Ballymoney. Not the most beautiful place in the world, though it's in a beautiful part of the world, but it didn't share too much in the beauty. We used to tell people, if we wanted to get rid of them, go and fish off Dervock Pier. They didn't even have a swimming pool in Dervock, never mind a pier. But in that little rural town, in the early part of this century, the Reformed Presbyterians had one of the world's great scholars, and certainly one of Ireland's great preachers, a man by the name of Robert Nevin. If you young students ever get a chance in a second-hand bookstore to buy a book called Misunderstood Scriptures by Robert Nevin, I strongly would advise you to get it. It'll keep you studying and it'll do your heart good and exercise your brain cells as well. A great man. And you may not agree with everything he says, but certainly his views are never to be easily dismissed. Now, Robert Nevin enters into a very elaborate and detailed argument, which I'm not going to try and reproduce in the pulpit tonight, in favor of identifying these two sets of brothers. And he meets head on this statement from John 5, neither did his brethren believe in him. And Nevin's position is simply this, that that statement would be true, and it would be written as it now is, if only two of Christ's brothers didn't believe in him. Doesn't say that none of his brothers believed in him, and it would be true as written if two of them didn't.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.